So what's the hottest news right now? What's the biggest kind of theme that's going on?
I think the biggest challenge is that in the last couple of years, and I've said this before, that particularly the last couple of years, marketing has definitely been catapulted into the space I think it rightly belongs in, which is at the center of most organizations, whether that's a commercial organization, whether that's a university, a public sector body. I think during the last couple of years, everybody has had this desperate need to hear the voice of their consumers, and it's been highlighted in the majority of organizations that they weren't really hearing what they needed to hear. They weren't as far down their digital journey as they thought they were. You heard IBM at the very beginning of the pandemic talk about hyper digitalization. We need to be better at using the technology and bringing in better technology so that we are able to communicate in a, I suppose, personalization, and particularly at this difficult time in the last few years with our customers, potentially with different products that we may have spoken to them about before. And never has there been a time where the ability to understand maybe the challenges your own customers were facing has been so high. So I think that is a starting point where marketing now is firmly placed, where it rightly should be, I think is a positive. What we need to be able to understand, though, is that the pressure that those marketing and comms professionals are now under, Neil, is immense, because suddenly everybody wants them. Everybody wants them to do a job for them within an organization. And I think that's where the challenge for marketing now is, how wide and how deep can we be? Meanwhile, holding on to the fact that a lot of the roles that are in short supply are those very niche roles, particularly concerned with that ability to not just create the opportunity to capture the data from your customer, but also to find the insights to it. So it's a bit of a perfect storm of everybody now appears to understand the importance of a marketing function. Fantastic. That has put the function under immense pressure. There has been a very obvious skills shortage in that technical marketing role for a long time. So I think it is quite an interesting, challenging, and incredibly busy time to be in the marketing profession.
Yeah, I love that phrase, the perfect storm. It certainly does feel like that. I was with a client yesterday, and we were actually leading a senior management team through a kind of a strategic planning process for the rest of the year, trying to align kind of brand values with, product availability in a very, very difficult market, a lot of kind of supply chain issues and stuff. And it was really interesting. I had a conversation with him, and he was saying, do you know, it feels like we've kind of almost sort of overstepped our kind of authority here by actually leading this meeting. I said, no, this is actually what we should have been doing years ago. And it kind of feels like we've almost stepped into this kind of, all of the marketing mix feels like it's possible now. Whereas before it was like, oh no, marketing, that's comms. Or, oh no, marketing, that's just product development. Whereas it feels like, and I'm just taking this one example, but it feels like that now is that time, because I think unless we're all talking that same consistent language, we're all just going to go so inward, and everything's just going to become so insular. That doesn't serve any industry, does it?
No, I think so. No, I think they're all valid points there, and I think there are many marketeers. I was with a group marketing director yesterday, and I was at a university last week talking to the associate director of marketing and her head of marketing CRM, the importance of CRM for them at the moment. And it is actually a challenge to make sure that all of these different facets of marketing stay connected as these teams ebb and flow in the shape of what that team now looks like compared to what it might have looked like 2 years ago. And equally, compared to what it might look like in the future, because now it is in the spotlight, which, as I say, I think it firmly should be. There are huge demands, and I don't think absolutely it's not overstepped the mark. This is where it should have been, at the heart of strategy and business objectives. But it is a new space for some marketers to find themselves, and it is a new space for some marketers to realize that there is this whole stakeholder engagement piece that if they're now going to be at that more senior table, and they have to be able to move through that journey of engagement at a much faster space with a much more commercial view than potentially, I'm not saying they didn't have that view before, but potentially they didn't have to show or they weren't asked for it. So I think there's a great lady you and I both know called Dr. Maggie Evans, who wrote a fabulous book called Talent Liberation about 3 years ago. definitely ahead of her time, and delighted actually that it won an award last year. Because what Maggie talked about is what people are now talking about in the marketing piece that she was talking about across the piece of professionalisms, but it's where is the talent? And maybe you have more talent in your marketing team than you think. Because if someone has been in a role, we often don't look at that person in comms potentially moving over to campaigns. And people say, well, why would they do that? Well, because it's all about engaging with the customer. It's all about telling a story. It's all about great narrative. So I think that this liberating talent that marketing teams have, it's really important before they then think about what is the shape going to be in the next 2 to 3 years. Therefore, what talent do I need to bring in? And if I'm going to bring in different talent, what support can I give them through this journey that I think is going to be, what would they say in purchasing, as you were talking, logistics, supply, expedited. I think these careers can be expedited. It's going to be a very fast movement if you're in the marketing world for the next couple of years. And I think there are going to be more opportunities potentially. I mean, there are just under 30,000 live marketing roles advertised direct by employers on websites across the UK in the last few weeks. Phenomenal number. And our research that you referred to earlier on the 2022 salary guide, which is really more about data and insight, it said that 81% of marketing employers are looking to recruit this year. 81%, it's huge. And of that number, 83% can't get the skill sets they want.
Cool. That's, I mean, those are huge numbers. This is not just a tip of the iceberg, is it? This is kind of systemic, really, isn't it, in terms of a change that seems to be happening. That's phenomenal numbers. And that's across all sectors.
Yeah, it's across all sectors. Yeah. I mean, if anyone is particularly keen, if they go onto our website, there is a link, and all they have to do is fill their email address and they can access it. There's a huge amount of data, insights, and conversations around non-recruitment benefits and packages and wellbeing, etc., on that piece of research. But they are bigger numbers. And actually, in the 8 years we've been providing this sort of comprehensive insight, it's an 8-year high for employers looking to recruit, and it's an 8-year low for professionals to be looking to move. So you've got this huge increase in demand. And unfortunately, a lower number of individuals actually looking. And I mean, there are obviously a myriad of reasons for that. Not least of all is the hybrid remote working model that, surprisingly, Neil, I don't know what you've seen, but I'm still surprised how many organisations haven't really worked out what that's going to look like. And I think that is definitely deterring people from approaching those organisations if they don't feel comfortable around what they know they're working pattern is going to be. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I would say I've totally seen that. And I think there is this, at a very local level, I think certain teams have, you know, managed to probably, you know, kind of figure it out on a week-to-week basis. But I think as an HR policy, I think there are very few organisations who have properly kind of established actually what that's going to mean going forward. As we both know, you know, the very best people will be demanding some kind of flexibility. It's, you know, the old model is long gone now. And I think because people have now seen the benefit of, you know, the hybrid kind of working lifestyle, I think I just can't see that's ever going to go backwards. So I think only organizations who truly kind of get it and, you know, put it within the mix are going to really make that thing fly. And I think if you're kind of almost out of the running as an employer because you're not playing that game, you don't have a look in. You're just going to be picking up the scraps, really, of you know, maybe sort of freelancers who are just looking for the odd short-term fix kind of role, but the top quality talent are now controlling the reins, aren't they, really?
Well, I think there's a desire for it to be a two-way conversation. I think most marketers want to be at some stage in working with the team face to face, in an environment, not necessarily a static office, but, you know, in an environment where they can come together. Most of our research shows that marketers, above all other professions, actually felt more isolated and from a creativity and innovation perspective, they felt less able to sort of finds that excitement in the new product range, products they take that, for example, product range, without that bouncing off each other, without what I hate that phrase, water cooler moments. But it was true. You know, most marketeers have said, I do want to work with my team. There is a great sense of purpose when you're together. And there's those sparks that may create just the most fantastic piece of content or narrative that we can then share with our customers. Or it might be that spark that takes us away and thinks about, actually, that would be a great product we could offer. So I think marketeers, as I said, above most professions, when we look at the percentage, were keen, really keen to have some kind of flexibility. They didn't want to work remotely all the time. But you're absolutely right. Neither did they say they wanted to go back 5 days a week to a workplace, an office, for the sake of being seen in an office. It's interesting, actually, probably going off a tangent, but I don't know if you saw on LinkedIn, our CEO, Alistair, did a really interesting article last week called Proximity Bias. And it was something that I hadn't really understood before, but I know you'd like this, Neil. It's a proximity bias. So if you're in the office more often than other members of your team, there is this place that we're moving to where there is a slight bias potentially towards you, Neil, because you're at home, you're not in with me with the team. And it's a really interesting, quite nuanced, I think, that's crept in. You know, is there a proximity bias, for example, Neil? Do I feel that some of my team are less connected or less involved because they work at home more often? I don't know, but it is a question I think we need to start looking at. And of course, that whole narrative would never have come about, that pandemic and us all suddenly finding ourselves, well, most of us find ourselves in a different place to work and working in a different way, more utilization of technology potentially. So I think there are all sorts of areas that have impacted the marketing profession and other professions, but I think marketeers want to be, by nature they're creative native, by nature they are the people who want to communicate, they want to be involved, they want to make decisions, they want to make the customer experience just the best it can be. And therefore, I think there is this need for them to be together at some stage. But they need to know, if they're thinking of moving to another organisation, what that looks like. And as I say, many people have not made the final decision on what their working pattern as a business will look like. And I think it's also hard for some organisations, Neil. I was with one only yesterday where they're a brilliant business, really strong SME, manufacturing business, employ lots and lots of local people in an area highly thought of. The challenge they've got is about 90% of their workforce works a shift pattern in a factory organisation, in a factory position. So they're struggling with bringing the 20% of their HR, IT, purchasing, marketing teams in on a more flexible basis because the rest of the team say, well, we have no choice. Now, obviously, there's always been organisations where you've had, you know, trades and labour, construction, property, building, where, you know, some people have to be on site to build a house. But it seems quite clear cut then, didn't it, Neil? Because people in the support functions were in the office, and most people who had to be out doing something physical were doing something physical. It's blurred those lines, I think, now, Neil, for most professions. And I think that's why it's proving a challenge to recruit at this high volume of roles that are available, because the candidates aren't quite sure what that pattern's going to look like, and they have a stronger view, Neil, I think, on what that should look like now than they probably did before.
That's really interesting. I think the just going back to the proximity sort of biasing, I think it's a really interesting thing. And I guess that's going to be very different for different styles and cultures of organization. Maybe that was a rhetorical question here, but is it more of a case of this could be happening, this could be in place as a marketer making a decision for a career change or a particular role change or just a company change? I just need to be aware that this might happen in my decision-making process. So if I'm shifting from 5 days a week to 2 days a week, or I'm, you know, there's some kind of balance or shift change, I've just got to be aware there might be an impact on my career development. There might be an impact on my career development if I choose a certain, you know, working style. It might not be that there's a right or wrong here, but it's just, as long as I'm aware that there could be an impact, is it just about being just very aware and just very, you know, awake to it? I suppose that's probably the best thing, isn't it? Because if there's no definitive kind of model that says, yes, it's this amount for this number of days and it's this amount for this number of days, it's kind of a little bit fluid, isn't it? But I think if people are aware, is that probably going to be enough, do you think?
Yes, I think it's the importance really, I think, is about the culture of the business suiting the marketing individual, the marketing individual being the right fit for the business. Because what we're talking about a lot of the time in the conversations we are having over the last few months, and I'm sure we'll for the next few months, is actually about value and trust, isn't it? Do I trust my employees? As an employee, as a marketeer working for a brand, do I feel valued? And if I feel valued and I feel trusted, then this challenge may not come. I think what the overriding challenge is when there is no clear-cut conversation or around what the expectation is. And I guess it's just like working with a customer, isn't it? Externally focusing. If you're a brand and you don't have a personalized, clear message to your customer, they equally will be uncertain. And I think what we don't want at the moment with our own customers or with our own internal employees and our marketing teams is for there to be any uncertainty. There's enough uncertainty, unfortunately, in the world at the moment. I think we need to be able as brands to be clear what our employee value proposition is. Obviously, which would include your marketing ones, people as clear as we'd want our customer experience to be for our external customers.
I was talking a couple of weeks ago to a marketing exec, and we were just kind of talking about the role of marketing, and the conversation wasn't in a particular direction, the direction that it ended up. But one of the things that he came up with, I can't mention his name specifically, unfortunately, but his idea was that within his business, to kind of almost reframe marketing, he wanted to term his role, basically, rather than marketing officer, he wanted to call himself a growth officer, because he saw the role of the growth or chief growth officer in the future, or growth director, as being this kind of all-encompassing style of marketing that would kind of redefine it so people would understand a real value that it could bring, rather than it just being the colouring in team, which is what he described it as. What would your kind of view be in terms of kind of like owning growth? Do you think that marketing's got a role here that's got a proper return on investment? So if the marketer's looking to kind of reposition themselves, you know, maybe for a career change, if they were to think, really almost obsess around this word growth, do you think that would have value?
Well, I think it's an interesting choice of words, because really we could also use the word commercial. And we've been talking for years, haven't we, Neil, you and I, for those many years we've known each other, about the role of marketing needs to be viewed as a very important part of the commercial growth, or the commerciality and the growth, therefore, of the business. And it's not just about filling the sales funnel, of course. It is about improving the customer experience. It's about retention, not just acquisition. So it's the challenge, I think, with growth. Gosh, I think the challenge is marketing becoming more and more responsible for more and more of what the business wants and needs. And I think we need to be aware of not blurring the lines, potentially, of what marketing fundamentally is about. Because fundamentally, if it is about, gosh, if we go back to the 7 P's or the 4 P's or the 7 P's, or if I go back to the origination of the definition of marketing, if it is still surrounding that meeting the needs now or the future needs of the customer, then that indicates growth, doesn't it? That is growth. So I think using that word growth is an interesting conversation. And I would be interested in talking to someone who sees that as maybe an appropriate time for their role. What I can say is that from data, as far back as when we did the DNA of a marketing director, which is goodness me, that was 6 or 7 years ago, I think it was 61% of marketing directors then, remember we surveyed about 1,000, 61% said our role will become more and more commercial in the next 2 to 5 years. So yes, I do think that there is nothing wrong with being in a marketing team and expecting to be responsible for, and therefore prepared to answer to, the board and your internal audience on the value you add to a business, because you can actually, through data, give the true value of that. As you said, it's not just the colouring in department or the felt tip fairies anymore. You can, through the data you collect and through the leads you now pass and the automation of the function, you can actually prove the value, not just know the value. And I think that's where technology, need to play a part in not just improving the sales figures and the customer experience, but also, I suppose, supporting marketing in being able to show the value that they add, even if that has to have a number against it, which in most organisations, I think it probably does now.
So taking that kind of down, sort of doing a bit more of a deeper dive into this then from a practical sense. So I have, I don't know, marketing manager X who's listening to this and thinking, okay, so Hayes are telling me I've got to think about this, I've got to think about that, I've got to do this more thing about becoming more commercial. The statistics were borne out from that research. It's all come true. Now is the perfect storm. I'm a marketing manager. I've kind of got a traditional background. What would Claire Kemsley from Hayes Group say would be if the almost like the top three technical skills this marketing manager kind of needs to sort of double down on, if you like, to become really more marketable themselves?
Well, that's a challenging question. Because the marketing manager role, out of those 30,000 jobs, on job boards, in the top three or four, marketing managers stayed through the last 2 years. And product manager tends to hold the top spot, lots and lots of product managers, but marketing manager, marketing exec, comms manager, they're all between the top five, they're all there, you know, number two or three. So there's still a demand for someone who understands the really broad, overarching role of marketing. And I do think that's important because I think there was a period of time, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a bit longer, when the more sophisticated software, I mean, there are 8,000 different softwares in marketing around the globe now, 8,000, right? So there's quite a lot. And of course, we need to understand the power of this digital marketing suite. But actually, as a marketing manager, I think it's more about understanding what the technology can do for you to further understand your customer, than necessarily having to be able to be an expert in it yourself. Going back to our research for years back on these marketing, senior marketing leaders, the real challenge wasn't that actually they said we don't understand the technology. That wasn't their real challenge. Their real challenge was that only 15% of them said the team understands technology. So somewhere there needs to be a learning process here where if I have been in marketing for 10 to 15 years and I'm a senior marketing manager and I know that I'm not really as savvy with the technology, I need to do two things. I need to be brave enough to buy that experience in and understand what technology I've got and how I could get better use of the data and greater insight. So I need to be able to be brave and maybe change the shape of my team and buy some of that expertise in. Also, I probably need to upskill myself, even if it's at a basic level. Because if we look at the skills at the moment, there's such an opportunity. So the technical marketing skills in high demand include CRM, UX, and data analytics. And those particular roles have grown, have increased and grown rapidly over the last few years, as I said earlier on, because a lot of customers, a lot of brands have ramped up their digital transformation. And also roles including your digital marketing exec and managers, communications, are still in high demand. So as I say, those overarching strong marketing skills that we all need to know and understand if we're managing a team, they're still absolutely at the forefront, but we do need to understand those technical roles that are in high demand, and I think we need to understand them to a level if we are going to be a marketing manager of a big team. So do I have an understanding of the data analytics that I'm getting in my business? Do I have an understanding of what we should be able to find out from them? So businesses are also still leaning really heavily on internal comms. Obviously, part of that is to engage with the hybrid workforce and also to ensure, I think, that they're still giving a great message to their current customers and whilst they're focusing on the acquisition of new customers. So there are still lots of skill sets in high demand. The top technical ones, just to reiterate, are probably CRM, UX, UI, and data analytics. But I would say to a marketing manager, you need to be aware of what the technology can do for you and your business. You need to understand the opportunity of SEO and PPC, but I don't think you need to become an expert in all of it because you can't be an expert in all of it. But I think what you need to be able to do is be brave enough to reshape, Neil. It's the reshaping of marketing teams that I'm seeing. I'm working with an organization at the moment who've completely reshaped the team, and now they have a planning team, they have an acquisition team, they have a digital marketing team, and a data analyst team and a comms team. So they've separated out this data analytics away from the digital name, and they've put it in a place where they really want to focus on so that they can get the right insights to improve, obviously, the relationship with the customer. So I think it's more about, if I was a marketing manager or a senior marketing manager, understanding the shape of what my team should look like to enable me to get the data and the insights and then create the brilliant personalization of which we know is very important, of the messages I'm giving to my customers. So I would say there are great courses out there that just give an overarching view, and also don't be afraid to do reverse mentoring. I'm a big believer in reverse mentoring. So if I've recruited someone to my marketing team and they are an expert on data analytics, I would absolutely ask them to reverse mentor me. Share with me, Neil, you're the expert. I've brought you into my team. You're the expert on data analytics. I want to understand it. I want you to share, and I want you to reverse mentor. I think in marketing, reverse mentoring is a really great thing to do.
This is super interesting. I'm so glad we're having this conversation. I could just see people like literally listening to this, kind of writing down, I've got to do this. Yeah, so it's really nice to kind of really hone in on that sort of data evidence thing as well. I mean, I've been banging, as you know, banging the drum for evidence and data for years and years. So just lovely to hear that that is coming through as a core thing, you know, in user experience and CRM and the like. So yeah, that's brilliant. So kind of following that one sort of through to the logical kind of next step then would be, in terms of what used to be called the soft skills, I mean, I don't use that phrase, I always call it essential skills now, but are there any kind of changes, or, you know, has anything kind of morphed into a different thing than used to be? So if you compared the kind of essential skills for a marketer, say 10 years ago, to kind of what they are today, are there any differences there, or is it still the typical things? You've got to be clarity of presentation, you've got to be able to talk a bit of finance language. Kind of where's the kind of essential skills sitting right now?
Well, I agree with you. You know, soft skills, I really don't like that word, soft skills. But in the research we did last September, October for the salary guide, we did what we call a pulse survey. So we resurveyed those organizations. The original survey was about 23,500, I think. And we, across many disciplines, not just marketing, but we resurveyed them in March for a sort of a temperature check. You know, this is what you said last September, October. We launched the results in January. Has a lot changed in 3 months? Obviously, an awful lot has changed. And what was interesting was the soft skills that they're still looking for from a marketing perspective. This is from an employer's perspective. Communication and interpersonal skills. Now, that's the top one. And the second one, actually, is the ability to adopt change. That's the second one. And when I do my roundtables, as you know, I do regularly with key decision makers and senior marketers and content people, the response always is, well, Claire, that's obvious. Obviously, in marketing, you have to be good at communication and interpersonal skills. I see, yes, you do. But actually, you'd be surprised how many people in a senior marketing role aren't naturally a strong and competent communicator internally with their stakeholders. Now, if we layer onto that piece that we've been catapulted as a team in the boardroom or the committee room, wherever that might be, and people are asking for our opinions now, and we're being higher valued within the organization, that's why I think there's been this heightened need for marketing directors, comms directors, marketing managers to be able to hold their own with those internal stakeholders from a communication interpersonal skill set. So I can see why it's obvious for marketers, but I can see why it's been heightened as a really in-demand skill set over the last 2 years. And adopting change and adapting change, that's a super interesting one for me, because, as you know, I like to be, as my children say, out, and I'm so excited. I mean, seeing you last week at the CIM Sustainability Summit, which I was beside myself with excitement. It's just great to see people, wasn't it? You know, I mean, fabulous presentations, but just great to be out with like-minded people. And I would say that I have adapted to this, to MS Teams. I have adapted to seeing people from my study out of their room, but I haven't adopted it. I do not want to do this for much longer. And so I understand, again, why employers are saying we need people in marketing who not only can adapt, Neil, but adopt it. You know, the way we might communicate with our customers, we've had to be so agile, haven't we, as marketing teams, so agile, more agile than ever before. And so I think that I can understand why employers are saying we need in our marketing team, our, when I say marketing, I mean marketing comms, in our world, in this really important space now well, it's always been important, but we recognise importance. We need to know that there has been that adoption of change. And a lot of that change is obviously going to be technology led, Neil. And therein lies another challenge. Do we have people in our team who can adopt and adapt, can adapt and adopt and really want to adopt it? Because you and I both know that there are many people who will talk about the need for wanting technology, but actually when it comes down to it, they don't really want to engage with it. And therein lies, I think, one of the challenges. So those are the top two from an employer's perspective, that they wanted to be able to evidence, I suppose, in your current role, if you're applying to their business, or be able to evidence that you've got examples of where you've shown, you know, that you can, you know, tricky situation, difficult situation, you've got a great project through, or perhaps you've been able to influence brand if you're a different part of the team. So yeah, they were the two we had to call them soft skills. Those were the top two.
Yeah, we have to go there just so that people understand we're talking about the same thing. Yes,
yeah,
it's such a common, just a phrase that's just been used for so many years, isn't it? But anyway, we got through that one. We said it, we used it, but we know what we really meant. So into the future then. I know, obviously, we were both at the CIM's Sustainability Summit. Yeah, I reflect that. It was an amazing day. Very, very good.
It was, wasn't it? So if
sustainability, obviously, is one of the key upcoming themes. We're all hearing about metaverse. I'm kind of on a bit of a mission to understand metaverse marketing and what that might, could, should be. From Hayes's perspective, in terms of, and also from what Claire Kensley's crystal ball, if you like, because I know you're very much sort of focused on kind of where all this is going as well, kind of in the future, what would you say would be, I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot. I guess I am putting you on the spot. But what's the next big thing? If at the moment it's data and CRM and user experience and the like, where do you see the next big kind of thing happening for marketing?
Well, as you know, I'm not a marketeer, but I am surprised at how little I've seen in the job market with a definite focus on brand. I'm waiting for it. But I'm surprised that we've not seen such a larger volume of roles for brand yet. Obviously, you can see the pattern. It's been crisis management, comms management, of course, earlier on in the last 2 years. And then, say, products being there, because people are thinking, if I'm not talking about recruitment, for example, for me, what am I talking to my customers about? If you're not training people at Cambridge, what are you talking to them about? You know, so we all have to focus on product. But I think that brand will is really important. And I think sometimes it just doesn't seem to be as high up on the agenda within an organisation as it should be. So a real focus on brand, and I do think a real focus on the purpose of that brand. I mean, it really is beginning to matter to people. It really, really is something that when we are talking to employers about their future needs, what might they need in a year's time or 2 years' time, and what sort of products are they looking at, where are they taking their brand? Because the consumer, if you think about it now, if you think of the marketeer as a consumer of that brand, or an employee, sorry, of that brand, people have very strong views on where they want to work, who they want to work for, and what that business does. Far more, I think, I'm not saying we didn't have those stronger views, but they're more vocal, aren't they? Lots of people are far more vocal about where they want to be, what they want to do, and you know, the responsibility they feel that they're taking for this whole sustainability. So I think I think we'll see some movement in brand positioning, but I also think we'll see some movement in the importance of being authentic as a brand. And I don't just mean authentic to your customer base, but authentic to the employees who want to work with you and perhaps go on that journey with you. I think marketing has a louder voice now. I think it's always had great foresight. And I almost think there's a sense of responsibility for marketers to make that voice in the most positive way amplified, not just externally to their customer base, but internally, and try and work for business to use your fabulous organisation, is mindful. And you can have good profit. You can have a good business It can behave well as a business. And I think all of these things are what people are talking about. And I think that that's because they are important, that they feel. Marketers from our survey say well-being is really important to me. It has been, but now I'm going to talk about it. Now I want to understand the value I bring to the business. And I think that's fantastic, because if you think about your role as a marketer over the years, you spend your whole life in marketing trying to improve the customer experience. So you're trying to be as authentic with your customer as you can. I think what marketers are saying, that's how I want to be treated as an employee now. That matters to me. And I'm feeling brave enough to say that now. Just to give you an idea from some of the data we collected in the Pulse survey, we actually asked some questions on purpose and well-being. And from that survey, employees and marketers particularly, who say an organization's purpose is important when considering a new role, 92%. The overall across other disciplines was 86. 92% of marketers said it really matters to me when I consider a new role, an organization's purpose. And higher than the average professions, again, marketers said, we want more wellbeing support as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the overall figure was about 36% who said that matters to me. But again, it's not a huge difference, but it is a difference. 42% no, really matters to me. So I think what they're saying is they're being authentic and upfront and honest with, as I think as they can be within the profession, saying this is how we feel and this is what we need. But in turn, let's remember, they are prepared to work unbelievably hard to support the brand that they work with. And actually, if you go back to those top skills you talked about, the soft ones, what employees want, what marketeers are saying specifically is people management. People management has been interesting, has come across as the top skill that they would really like to develop. And I wonder if that's driven by the pandemic. I wonder if that's been driven, Neil, by this very difficult, complex place we've had to be for the last 2 years, and whether people have discovered that skill that they have, going back to Maggie's point, maybe they've liberated their own skill set and said, actually, people management. It's one of the top skills that marketers want to develop. And the second skill they want to develop is negotiation. And again, I wonder, is that because we're in such a hope, a super, super right space now for marketing? But of course, you're now going to have to deal with all those stakeholders, and you're going to have to be around that table with a authentic, strong voice. And the need to negotiate, I think, is going to become more and more apparent. So I thought that was quite interesting. I think marketeers are quite insightful by nature. And I think that's very insightful to say, do you know what, actually, I'm going to need to develop my people management skills if there's going to be all this change and the shift of my department because of the impact of technology and these new skill sets. Also, I'm going to have to be able to negotiate with, as you said, you know, finance, I've got to be more commercial. So yes, there's quite a lot I need to develop. And I like that marketers are seeing those as places they need to develop their skill sets.
Right. I am going to put a checklist of all of these amazing insights down below in the comments box in the podcast or the video, wherever you happen to be watching or listening to this, because you need to be on top of all these numbers, because Claire's shared with us some really valuable insights. I'm also going to post the links to the various surveys that Claire has talked about. So check down below if you want to reference these. The Hayes Group publish a whole bunch of different initiatives and do annual surveys that obviously keep Hayes right at the forefront of the industry. So if you are thinking career change, I'm going to do a shameless plug here. If you're thinking career change, that's your first point. That's your first place to go, but I'm not incentivized in any way, audience, I promise you, but it's really that good. There's only one place to go. And so I'll put all the links down there below, and make contact with Claire's organization, because you won't be sorry.
And what I would say, that's very kind, Neil, thank you. What I would say, look at LinkedIn, because Alistair Cox, our CEO, he obviously head of a global organization, but he's really super interested in what the world is going to look like in the future, not just because of the pandemic, but he's really keen to look to the future. And I say this article on proximity bias, I keep referring to it because I need to read it, quite understand it yet. But there's some quite interesting articles that he writes, not just all about recruitment, but he's got an interesting insight. He's an engineer by trade, Harvard trained, and he's got an interesting insight into recruitment and into the way he believes the world should be So he's quite an interesting chap to follow. Happens to be my CEO, but I would follow him anyway. And I do think that, you know, the Mindful Collective that you've been talking about for years, and the Sustainability Summit, that you know, we need to be aware of these things, Neil. We all need to take responsibility for the world we're in, and in our own world of marketing or comms or wise recruitment, we need to take time to pause and I think ask ourselves, are we doing the good stuff? You know, for my brand, for our people, for ourselves, you know, are we doing the good stuff? I think that's a really good question to ask.
Claire Kemsley, UK Managing Director of Marketing at Hays Group, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for asking me.